Welcome to the Focus Today podcast with Perry Atkinson.
Well, welcome back, and always an honor and very timely to have back with us today Michael Bustler. He's a professor of finance at Stockton University, public policy analysis. And his website is muckrack.com/Michael Bustler. You can check that out. And there's a picture of the landing page there. Professor, good to see you, friend. How are you?
I'm well, Perry. Always a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. I'm reading today. I'm really excited to have you. I'm reading today the summary of the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. You probably have read it, too. Somehow, it raises $739 billion, spends $433 billion, and supposedly reduces the deficit $300 billion. Now, you're the economic professor. Please explain that math.
Unfortunately, I'm going to have a little tough time explaining that. When I added it up, it looked to me like the spending was in the $700 billion range. And I thought the taxes raised were in the 400, so it looked to me like there was going to be a deficit. So, look, we can argue about how much is going here and there, but to call it an Inflation Reduction Act is really extremely misleading. The reason we have so much inflation, or most of the reason we have so much inflation, is simply that demand in the economy is much greater than our ability to supply. So how did all that happen? So Biden's economists are blaming a lot of the inflation on supply chain disruptions. And while there may be some markets where you're seeing some price spikes due to supply chain issues, overall, supply issues are not causing much of the inflation. Now, why do I say that? The economy today, even though it's receded in the last 6 months, the economy today is producing at a higher level than before the pandemic. So total supply is up to where it was before the pandemic. The reason we have inflation is total demand is way above that. So we have excess demand. Now, why do we have that excess demand? It's mostly due to two factors. One, in the last two fiscal years, the federal government has spent nearly $6 trillion more than they brought in tax revenue. On a 23-ish trillion economy, that's going to lead to pure inflation. So most of the excess demand comes from government spending. Even today, the federal government is spending about $130 billion a month more than they're bringing in tax revenue. So if you want to get inflation down, try to get rid of some of that excess demand by cutting government spending. Look, President Biden says we've reduced the deficit by $1.7 trillion, the biggest deficit reduction in history. Well, that's true, except last year, the deficit was $3.1 trillion, and it included about $3 trillion of stimulus spending. The American Rescue Plan and the infrastructure plan totaled close to $3 trillion. Now, we don't have any of those so far this year, so the deficit should really go down close to zero because we're eliminating that. Instead, Biden increased spending, so the deficit this year will be $1.4 trillion. Now, that's a big drop from the $3 trillion last year, admittedly, but $1.4 trillion is the third highest deficit we've ever had in history. And at a time when you have inflation, deficit spending adds to total demand and will make inflation worse. What he should do is forget about what he's trying to spend now. That's just going to add more inflation, and try to reduce government spending, try to get the budget closer to being balanced. They won't balance it, but getting closer to being balanced, get the deficit down, that will help reduce inflation. The second reason we have excess demand is the Federal Reserve, and I think I spoke about this last time I was on. The Federal Reserve last year implemented what I call shockingly irresponsible monetary policy. Why do I say that? Inflation at the consumer level is best measured by the Consumer Price Index. typically before the pandemic, the consumer price index goes up maybe 0.1% or 0.2% in a month. So you do that for 12 months, you're looking at about a 2% annual inflation rate. And that's about where we were prior to the pandemic. So it goes up CPI about 0.1% or 0.2% a month. Starting in January of 2021, the CPI went up 0.3%. In February, it went up 0.4%. In March, it went up 0.6%. In April, it went up 0.8%. Clearly, we had an inflation problem building, and you should be able to recognize that by March of April or April of last year. Instead of admitting that, the Federal Reserve and the Biden administration says, don't worry, this is temporary. They use the word transitory. This is transitory. This will go away on its own. We don't have to do anything. So the Federal Reserve continued to rapidly expand the money supply by printing money to buy $120 billion a month of government bonds, and they kept interest rates near zero. That puts excess demand in the economy from government spending. And two, by keeping interest rates so low, people said, you know, I wasn't going to buy a house this year, but I can get a 3% mortgage. And, you know, the government gave me all the stimulus money, which covers my down payment. So I'm going to look to buy a house this year. Well, all those people looked to buy houses, that increased the demand. We now had excess demand in the housing market, and you saw what happened to housing prices. So the Federal Reserve waited a year to raise interest rates and a full year to end their bond buying program. When they finally realized in March that in March of this year, inflation is not temporary, we better do something about it. Well, let's start raising interest rates. They were so far behind the curve, they raised a quarter of a point. They raised a quarter of a point, didn't do anything. They raised a half a point the next month, still didn't do anything. Inflation was getting worse. And then in June and July, they had to go up 0.75 point in each of those months to try to reduce demand. The original question was, what do I think about Biden's spending and things he wants to do? No more government spending should be done this year. It will make inflation worse. I don't care what they say. It will add to aggregate demand, and we will make inflation worse. And they know that. But they're more concerned with solving real or perceived social injustices. It's injustice CEOs make more than everybody else, and it's injustice some corporations don't pay enough taxes, and injustice everybody doesn't have health care. It's injustice everybody doesn't have daycare. So they want to spend money on curing those real or perceived social injustices and climate change. And their view is, let's spend to fix this. Whatever price the economy has to pay, we'll pay. And we'll try to convince the American public it's really not that bad.
Wow. Okay. A couple things come out of this. Let me back up just a little bit. The administration is saying we are not in a recession. What say the professor?
Okay. So the classic definition of a recession is two successive quarters of negative growth in GDP. We've had that. So by the classic definition, we have a recession. Now, what do they answer back? We're not in a recession. Look how low the unemployment rate is. If we were in a recession, the unemployment rate would go up. So my answer back to that is, we have a severe labor shortage. There are roughly 11 million job openings and only 6 million unemployed people. So what's going to happen is, instead of laying people off, they'll just cancel those job openings. You'll see those go down, and the unemployment rate is not likely to increase very much, I think, during this recession. However, recession means receding. So if the last 6 months of the year, this year, the economy has been receding, we are in a recession, no matter what you call it and how you decide to define something, the economy is going backwards. And that's a recession if it does that for 6 months. Let me add one other point. We also have a severe stagflation problem. What does that mean? Well, even if you agree with Biden, we're not in a recession, you'll have to agree the economy is stagnant. It hasn't grown since last December. When you have a stagnant economy with a high inflation problem, we call that stagflation. We haven't seen that since the end of Jimmy Carter's term.
Oh, boy. Okay, so Did I hear you say that a recession? Explain the recession 6 month thing. I didn't catch that part.
So the technical definition of a recession is two successive quarters of the year.
Yeah.
First quarter, January, February, March. Second quarter, March.
Okay.
April.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Successive.
Okay, I got that. All right. So, stagflation, recession, inflation. All three are happening, whether we want like that or not.
Exactly.
Is that going to force higher interest rates? They want a quarter. They want three quarter. Somebody said they may go a full point in September. What's your take?
Yeah, I think they should have gone a full point in both June and July. With inflation running this high, the only way to get rid of all this excess demand is similar to what had to be done in 1981. So Paul Volcker was chairperson of the Federal Reserve, and he said, look, I've got to get this inflation out of the system. If I don't do it, it leads to some very severe problems. Ronald Reagan used to say inflation is a cancer, and if you don't stop it, it's going to spread and lead to difficult problems. So Volcker pushed interest rates up for those of us old enough to remember. Volcker pushed interest rates way up to double-digit levels. Inflation had peaked at 13%. Mm-hmm. He did that. It reduced aggregate demand greatly. It brought the inflation rate down. Unfortunately, it made a recession very severe. And that's what the problem that we're looking at today. So the Federal Reserve is going to have to raise rates at least three or four more times before the end of the year, probably about 1.5% or greater before the end of the year to take enough demand out of the economy to reduce inflation. Now, unfortunately, that's likely to make the recession worse. So under the Reagan administration, what they did is they put forth a supply-side tax cut. They put through tax cuts, which encouraged the economy to expand. And when you're expanding, you're producing more output. That alone will put downward pressure on prices, and that's how we got out of it. We'll see what Chairperson Powell does. But interest rates will be about 1.5% to 2% higher by the end of the year than they are now.
I get that. All right, let me take a break, Professor. When we come back, I do want you to explain how in the world do we waste $433 billion without raising taxes? How do we spend $433 billion without raising taxes? We'll be right back with Professor Buster in just a moment.
We'll be back to this week's interview in just a few seconds. In the meantime, we want to let you know that you can watch this interview, plus many more exclusive interviews that happen this week on the Dove's Daily TV and radio show by visiting our website, thedove.us. And while you're there, sign up for our free daily devotional, The Word for You Today. 3 months of daily readings that will connect you with God's Word. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back, and we always consider it an honor to have with us Professor Michael Bustler. He's a public policy analysis professor of finance there at Stockton University in New Jersey. His website is muckrack.com/Michael Bustler. There's a picture of the landing page of his website, and what an honor to have him. And I noticed that since he's been on the Dove now, he's a hot demand on all the other shows.
Thank you for launching my career. I appreciate it.
Thank you for your time. This is so amazing to me. I'm trying to look at this Inflation Reduction Act. How do you spend $433 billion and not raise taxes?
You don't. So the answer is they are going to have to raise taxes. Now, they're saying, well, don't worry, it's not going to hit the consumers. We're going to raise corporate income taxes so consumers won't feel it. The problem is when you raise corporate taxes, they have to maintain profit margins. So if you raise the corporate taxes, they have to raise the price to recover that. And if they can't and the product is not profitable, it simply is not made anymore. So, you know, we economists have an expression, corporations don't pay taxes, they actually collect taxes. So if whatever you're paying, charging corporations will eventually get passed on to consumers, and they're going to have to pay more. This whole deficit reduction, or whatever he calls it, Inflation Reduction Act, is really a whole gaslight. It's excess spending, when we already have excess demand, will drive inflation up. Raising taxes on anybody at a time like like this, especially on business, that adds to the cost of the product for them. And if they can't recover it in a price, which they'll try to do, if they can't, then they can't make the product anymore. That will tend to reduce the supply. And when you reduce the supply, that tends to drive prices up. At this point, they should be doing exactly the opposite. They should be reducing government spending. If there's any way they can reduce taxes, if not at least hold the line on them, I would like to see them even come down. But you can't spend more money and start to raise taxes during a stagflation period. It's exactly the worst thing to do. How they came out the other day and said 17 Nobel Prize winning economists support this. To be frank, I can't understand how any rational economist would support this at a time now that with the economic conditions that we have now. Now, what they're looking at, and you know, you take a look at people like Janet Yellen, who are a very intelligent lady. She's got an Ivy League PhD. She was a professor at Cal Berkeley, head of the Federal Reserve herself. She's a very intelligent lady, but she's not looking at these things objectively. Had she done that last year, she would have realized we're heading for inflation. Instead, she didn't, and a year later says, I got it wrong. Now she's saying we're not in a recession. Well, time go down the road a little bit. When people realize we were in a recession, she's going to say, I got that wrong. Well, how could she get it wrong if she's so intelligent? The answer is she's not looking at economic goals primarily. She's looking at climate change and social goals. And the view of the Biden, of Janet Yellen, the Biden administration, and maybe Jerome Powell is, if we have to live with some inflation or if we have to live with a recession, it's more important that we solve these social problems and climate change and we can get over some of these other problems. But they're really just gaslighting us. What they're saying here is simply not true. In all due respect to them, it's simply not true.
Yeah, because out of the $433 billion that they want to invest, $369 billion of it is what they call energy security and climate change, which basically means a ton of regulations coming down at
us. Exactly. The more regulations and the more difficult you make it for business to expand, the less they're going to expand. I mean, look at what Reagan did and during the Trump administration. They lowered taxes for everybody. They got rid of regulations. What did Trump come when he got into office said, I'm going to eliminate two regulations for every one that I put in. He was able to eliminate unnecessary and counterproductive regulations. It allowed business to expand. Economic growth didn't get as high as he would have liked, but it did increase over the prior administration. And more importantly, it created opportunity for everybody. The unemployment rate was at an historic low of 3.5%. And for some of the minority groups that typically have a little more difficulty finding jobs or getting that unemployment rate down, even for those minority groups, the unemployment rate was way down. So what Reagan and the Trump administration, what they gave to people is what they really wanted and needed. The Democrats give them free stuff. We're going to pay for your health care. We're going to pay for your daycare. We're going to I know you borrowed money to go to college, but we're not going to have you pay that back. We're going to take care of everything. And they started giving free stuff. And what it does is it locks people in, sometimes for an entire lifetime. And I've seen cases, it goes multi-generational, where you start to rely on the government and you get locked into this. What Reagan and the Trump administration did, they gave people what they really wanted. What is that? They want the opportunity to earn enough income that they can pay for their own stuff. And that's exactly what was done during those two administrations. And it worked marvelously. It gave people a feeling of self-esteem. I don't have to depend on anybody. I earned the money myself, and I was able to pay for what I wanted myself. People feel much better about that. So stop giving away free stuff. Tax and spend doesn't work, especially when you have high inflation and a stagnant economy.
Why isn't the threat of this bill showing up in the economy? Just the threat of it. It's not. It hasn't passed yet. It looks like it's heading there. We don't know. There may be some more D's that may jump off the boat here. But why isn't the threat of this being felt?
I have a feeling, even though the media is touting this as some big wins for President Biden and all the good things, I have a feeling a lot of people think this may not go through. I mean, I hear what they had 48 senators commit to it. Now, you didn't have Manchin, and we haven't heard anything from Sinema yet. She says she's reviewing this. Manchin went along with this. I think the more he sees about it, he may start questioning whether he did the right thing, especially he represents West Virginia. The people in West Virginia are not going to be in favor of this. It pretty much clobbers the coal industry in West Virginia. That's a big industry there. So Manchin may think twice about it. Kristen Sinema has said, anything that raises taxes, I'm not going to vote for. Well, this definitely raises taxes. So I'm not so sure this is going to go through, even though, again, the media is touting as big wins for the president. And I think the investment community, business, and people in general are wondering, maybe this is not going to go through, because as we see what the details are, we might have one or two senators change their mind.
Yeah, because, as I looked at this, speaking of West Virginia, the average household, household income in West Virginia is $48,000. Six out of the eight tax increases would hit people earning under $200,000. And this comes from the committee that oversees, this comes from the researchers that oversees the committee's results. So the
this is an unbiased researcher.
Unbiased researchers say this is a no-brainer. Don't go here, you know.
Right. And he's got to explain his yes vote to the people of West Virginia, whose median income is a little below the national average. And for people whose income is a little below the median, they get hit the hardest by inflation. People on fixed incomes, senior citizens on fixed incomes, get clobbered by inflation. And low-income earners, they've been living essentially paycheck to paycheck. Now you raise with prices going up 9% last year, they need 9% more just to buy what they did before. Well, they don't. Their average raises are less than 5%, so they're going to see a real decrease in the standard of living. I just saw another statistic today. There's a larger percentage. I think 60% of Americans now live paycheck to paycheck. This bill would make things worse.
Okay, and one other topic. The president goes to Saudi Arabia and comes home with an empty gas can. What? That's left us pretty empty.
Yeah. Right? Look, his energy policy really destroyed the, or at least the severe damage to the energy industry here. At the peak of the prior administration, we were producing 12.5 million barrels of oil a day. We're down to now about 11 million barrels per day. That reduction in supply has led to most of the, or at least started most of this inflation that we end up having today. So again, he's not being very forthright with us, and people are seeing the results of it, and they have to pay for it every day.
One last question, Professor. I know this all sounds very heavy and negative, but is there a hitting point? Is there a wall we hit here soon?
Well, we hope we don't get to that point. Yeah, right. The Federal Reserve was way behind, but now they're aggressively handling inflation. Eventually, I think what you're going to see in the next month or two, you'll see inflation dip a little bit. But then I think it's going to go back up again in the fall for a number of reasons. One, the Biden was taking a million barrels a day of oil out of the strategic reserve, which was not a good idea, but he did it. He's going to stop doing that in September, and all of the food inflation hasn't really hit the market yet, and that's coming up soon. So I think inflation will end up picking up again in the fall, and the Federal Reserve then will have to get a little more aggressive with interest rates.
Thanks for your time again. We value it. Thank you, sir. Muckrack.com/Michael Bussler, B-U-S-L-E-R. Check it out. That's his website. Thank you, Professor. Always great to have you, friend.
Always my pleasure. Look forward to coming back.
You bet.
Thank you for listening to this week's Focus Today podcast, and join us next Thursday and every Thursday to catch the latest episode. Remember, you can visit our website to check out all the interviews we did this week on our daily Focus Today TV show at thedove.us. And if you like this podcast, please take a moment to rate us and share it with your friends.